By the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we've hailed, were so gallantly gleaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the and the home of the brave.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, we appreciate that, Robin. We want to also take a moment to thank the people here with the Stephen Foster State Folk Culture Center, because they allow us every year to come over here and invade their territory. It's their park, and we appreciate them letting us have this event here every year. We also want to thank the many volunteers, of which there are hundreds, that helped to put this event on. There are many people that you'll see walking around here this weekend who volunteer their time to come over here and spend their Memorial Day weekend and help us to orchestrate and to put on this festival, and we really do appreciate it. Our theme this year is sports and games, so we want all of you to be sure you go up the hill there to the Folklife area, and you can learn how to make a surfboard, or you can learn how to play marbles or mumbly peg and some of the more interesting things like that. And Johnny, you reckon they know how to play pig eye up there? We hope they do. We got many fine craftspeople here this weekend, some of the finest crafts that you'll see anywhere in the state of Florida, anywhere in the country for that fact, and we're very proud of these people, and we have an awful lot of entertainment for you here this weekend. There's over 200 performances a day, so I'm sure that you'll be able to find something that is of interest to you, and we just want you to enjoy the festival and come back year after year. Right now, I'd like to take a moment to introduce a local fella who I have the pleasure of serving on the Florida Folk Life Council with, and he's no stranger to this place because this is his home. And I'm going to turn things over to our vice chairman of the Florida Folk Life Council, Johnny Bullard.
Thank you, Wayne, and we do welcome you to the 47th Annual Florida Folk Festival. Life is but a stage, and we're all part of history in the making as we begin this three-day festival celebrating the diverse heritage of our state. 47 years celebrating music, dance, food, arts, crafts, the uniqueness of each group, each individual. 47 years of making new friends, renewing old friendships, meeting, greeting, hugging, kissing, dancing, singing. This festival carries on a rich tradition begun by the Stephen Foster Memorial Commission and the Florida Federation of Music Clubs to promote the center. 47 years of memories. Will McLean, Gamble Rogers, Don Grooms, Cousin Thelma Bolton, Sarah Gertrude Knott. 47 years, and here we are again, as Boom Slang sang last year, Back to the Tower. During this Memorial Day weekend, we hope that you enjoy our Florida Folk Festival. Take time to enjoy the uniqueness of what is the state of Florida, but also take time during this Memorial Day weekend to remember why we are celebrating nationally, and that is to honor all of those men and women who gave their lives for our nation. And we want to not lose sight of that as we go throughout the weekend, and to them we say thank you. Eat some Hoppin' John and crackling cornbread. Have a plate of fried chicken, a slab of sweet potato pie. listen to a Celtic harp, dance to Cajun music, listen to bluegrass, listen to moving ballads by Jenny Fitchin. Enjoy the Florida Folk Festival here, way down upon the Suwannee River. And again, on behalf of our Florida Folk Life Council, our chairman, Wayne Martin, we have wonderful people who are working with us. We want to extend a thanks to our Park Service here for all of their hard work, and to our Stephen Foster Citizen Support Organization, of which I'm president, that has over 300 members who are volunteering hundreds of hours of time this weekend. I want to say thank you to each of them and to all of our volunteers, as Wayne stated, who make this possible. I also see we have Gail Newsom here with us from our local newspaper, the Jasper News. And Gail, let me say how much I appreciate the coverage the newspaper has given us over the past couple of months and through the years. And let's give our local newspaper a round of applause, because we really do appreciate them and all of our local press throughout the area. I see we have the South Hamilton School Chorus waiting to come on stage, and I have to say, I just love your shirts, because you're going to be able to keep them through the years and look back and know that you were part of this 47th Annual Florida Folk Festival. They are under the direction of Dolores Howell, and I had the privilege of working with Miss Howell for a number of years at South Hamilton. And also, I see that she has the help of Leanne Norris. I see Ernestine Johnson out there. And I see a number of parents who are here supporting their children this morning. And this group will always have a special, special place in my heart, because they're from my hometown. And anywhere I ever travel, I'm not ashamed to tell anybody that I'm from White Springs, Florida. And I'm so glad I had the privilege of growing up here. This is the 47th Annual Florida Folk Festival. I'm 41 years old, and I know I've been to 41 Florida Folk Festivals, because my mother brought me the first time when I was a baby over here. I hope you enjoy this weekend. Have a good time here in White Springs. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Johnny, and always does a good job, and we appreciate Johnny. He's one of our very best council members, and we're proud to have him on there, especially since he represents this local area here and brings the viewpoint of the local people. We also need to thank the town of White Springs, because White Springs is invaded by us every year on Memorial Day weekend, and the city here does a fine job, and we appreciate all of the help that they give us and going out of their way to make the people here comfortable and to help us with everything.
We got a genie. Is a genie going to sing? Going to sing. Huh?
She was
okay. One thing that we want all of you children now to do is we want you to be safe, but if we want y'all to do us a favor while you're here. We want you to be sure to run all amongst these bushes out here and roll around in these leaves and all that stuff, and get all the ticks that you can get on you and carry them back home with you, so that we won't be bothered with them for the rest of the weekend. So y'all just keep that in mind, and while you're at it, get a few red bugs to take back with you too. And, you know, you don't have to really go after the red bug. You know, if you just brush by a leaf, they'll jump on you. And if you don't get close enough for them to jump on you, that old tick sitting on that leaf, she'll reach up under her arm, get a handful of red bugs, and throw them on you as you walk by. So y'all be sure to gather them all up. She gonna say? We have right now a tradition that has been carried on for many years here at the opening ceremonies of the Florida Folk Festival, and we're proud to have a lady here with us who has won the Genie with the Light Brown Hair competition this year. And each year it's traditional for her to come and be at the opening ceremonies, and I'm hoping that she's going to render a song for us this morning. So we'd like to introduce our genie.
our genie is going after some more music. Her name is Julia Welcome, and she is our 47th genie with the light brown hair. As I stated earlier, the Florida Federation was the original sponsor of the Stephen Foster State Folk Culture Center. So before South Hamilton comes to sing, Miss Howell, I want to press you into impromptu service to come and play Swanee River for the genie this morning, if you will. I appreciate it so much. And she'll be with us just momentarily.
While they're getting set up, how many of you were here with us last year? Hey, a big crowd of you. How many were here the year before that? All right. We've got a number of people that, believe it or not, have been here for almost all 47 years. Cubby Whitehead is one fellow that comes to mind. I think he's been to all but one of the festivals. And I believe there's a lady here in White Springs that has been to all of the 47 festivals.
Who is
Nancy Morgan? Nancy Morgan, that's right. She's the one that makes the quilts. And she's been to every one of them, and they're going to be raffling off one of her quilts, by the way. The FOF booth may have some tickets over there, but the Florida Folklore Society is selling raffle tickets, and you can buy one and get one of Nancy Morgan's quilt if you're the lucky winner.
You ready?
All right. We're proud to introduce our genie with the light brown hair to sing with us. That's Julia Welcome. Let's have a big hand for her. Did she do a great job? And yeah, thank you, Miss Howell, for filling in on such short notice.
I'm used to it.
Good.
I've known this guy a long time. I'm used to it.
Otherwise, we'd have had to have Johnny do it, and I don't know if we could have stood that or not. We also want to make mention that this year has brought an event that happened that was sort of a first event, I think. I don't know if it's ever been done before. But we're real proud that this year our Secretary of State, Catherine Harris, introduced a resolution to the governor and the cabinet, and they passed a resolution proclaiming this weekend as Florida Folklife Days in the state of Florida, and we're real proud of that. And we want to thank Secretary of State Catherine Harris for instigating that and providing us with that resolution. Right now, I want to introduce a lady to you who's going to be your MC this morning for a stretch of time. And she is the wife of one of our council members and lives in Tallahassee and is no stranger to the Florida Folk Festival because she's been coming many, many years, too. Miss Carolyn Pardue.
Good morning. I didn't quite hear you wake up out there, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. We'd like to hear you all over the bubbling of the Suwannee, because this morning, while we have so many children walking around and running around, we want to make sure that our wonderful performers also hear your applause for them. Today, this morning, we're going to have a lot of exciting things, and for you teachers who have children running around, if you want to look at the schedule, there'll be some things you'll want to make sure that they do come and participate in and watch here. There's some wonderful multicultural things. There's some workshops later in the day. There's going to be tie-dye t-shirt making. And for $3, the children make the t-shirts with the real original dyes, and they don't run. And they get to take the t-shirt home with them. So that'll be at the old marble stage area. A lot of the craftspeople children have done things just for you for this weekend, so stop and see them. And make sure that you see what everybody's doing. The blacksmith has fired up his forge, and he was pounding away on some metal thing. I don't know. But this morning, this is going to be real exciting, our first group. And I'm going to let somebody who's almost related to South Hamilton County, Johnny Bullard, talk about this group, because I think he grew up with them. Johnny.
Our South Hamilton Chorus is going to come and perform for us. They've been performing here annually for a number of years, 13 years, and Miss Howell works hard each and every year to bring this group of students together from our elementary school. You have third and fourth graders from South Hamilton School who will be bringing you some traditional folk songs, I'm sure some hand-clapping rhymes, and other folk traditions that are so near and dear to our hearts here in the Suwannee River Valley. Ladies and gentlemen, the South Hamilton Chorus, under the direction of Miss Dolores Howell, welcome them with a round of applause.
Take
match and the match went out. We want to know who blew it out. Johnny struck the match and the match went out. We want to know who blew it out. Johnny struck a match and the match went out. We want to know who blew it out. Johnny struck a match and the match went out. We want to know who blew it out.
You're it!
And let's give our South Hamilton chorus another round of applause. In this age of political correctness and low-fat and low-cholesterol food, isn't it marvelous that you can listen to these songs that are part of our tradition still ringing out over these grounds of the Stephen Foster Center? We're so glad that they could be here. And this group proves, ladies and gentlemen, that we still have many, many, many good things going on in public education across the state of Florida. We thank them so much for being here today. Give them another round of applause. And now, Miss Carolyn Pardew, our mistress of ceremonies.
Well, I have to say, Mama's going to have to get out of the Swanee if she doesn't want any hand clapping and toe tapping and singing around here, because we are down here, and that's what we're going to be doing a whole lot of all through the weekend. And if you don't have a program, you need to get one, because is anybody here a first-timer? Is this the first time you've been here? Okay, well, if you're a first-timer, you're going to get on sensory overload here because there is so much to do. So you need to mark yourself your program and do all those things. For all the children and the parents of children, some of the things this morning that are going to be happening between now and 1 o'clock is there are going to be some demonstration workshops right up near the tower in the Folklife area. And I think one of the things the children would really love to see is Curly Deakel. Curly's about, and if I lie about his age, he's going to kill me, about 85 years old, and he still makes his own whips, and he does the cow whips. So the kids need to go up and see him do that and see a tradition that is in Florida. Now, wait down on the Swanee River. We're going to transport you further from home. We're going to transport you to the beautiful country of Japan, where we're going to learn some about the native dances they have there that the Japanese have for celebrating children. They're going to do a number of dances that celebrate children, but the third dance is going to be one that's going to be really special. It's going to be a flower and hat dance. So I want you to welcome with me the Wako Kai dancers doing their celebration of children dances.
I'd have had any vote in the matter. Florida is where I'd have been. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful way to start off with that, the graceful dances celebrating children from Wakukai, the Japanese dance troupe. Well, we're going to transport you here on the Suwannee from beautiful Japan to the beautiful Haitian country of Haiti. And this is going to go from celebrating children to actually having children participate. So get your hands ready, ladies and gentlemen, to volunteer. You're going to be able to participate with one of the master storytellers from Haiti, Lelaine Narette Lewis. She's going to introduce you to two of the characters she's written about in a new book, Teachers, one that you can find at the... she will tell you where you can get it on the grounds for your schools. But I'm going to introduce her to you and let her do what she does best, which is introduce you to the stories and the tales of Haiti. Elaine Lewis.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Are you ready to dance? You want to dance? Well, I'm going to introduce you to Haitian dance. But you see, these young people that I have on the tape that you... about to listen to, that nice music. They were born in America, but they were of Haitian parents. and they learn how to speak Creole, and they learn the stories of Bookie and Malice, just like I have in my book over here. You know, I try to perpetuate the story of Bookie and Malice. And I love the Haitian music. I also love to tell Haitian stories. Because when I say creek, everybody say crack. And then we start the storytelling. Now, when you hear the music, everybody got to dance, okay? Now, you see, the dance of Haiti, it's very simple type of dance. But it's like primitive dance. The music is made with bamboo. You've seen bamboo all over Florida. We have bamboo. And you know the drums. People dance to the drums. And you have flutes. So, and guitar. All those are man-made material. And we have what you call the grage. It's a piece of metal. And that makes a lot of noise. So when those young people who were born from Haitian parents went back to Haiti, they went with their music. And it was carnival time. So at carnival time, you don't have to know the people that are dancing. Everybody goes on the street and they dance, just like when you have carnival in Louisiana. So I need you guys to come so we can dance the Haitian dance. And I'll be showing you to you how to dance it. Come on. Come on down to dance the Haitian dance. You want to hear the music first? Okay, come on, everybody. Come on, come on, come on.
Nous retournons pour tout ça qui t'a dit ouen. Nous retournons pour tout ça qui t'a dit ouen.
Nous retournons pour tout ça qui t'a dit ouen. Pour nous café, on connaît, mais qui passe à retourner. Retournons pour tout ça qui t'a dit ouen. Nous retournons pour tout ça qui t'a dit ouen. Nous même retournons pour tout ça qui t'a dit ouen. Pour dire au suspens tout,
mais je m'en mettais, mais nous on l'est. Levez, levez, mais nous on l'est là.
Yeah!
frappé. Alors qui va si ou à nous qui va vous le faire.
It is in Haiti. When we have carnival, everybody dance. They dance on the street and they eat what you call beye. And to show to you the French influence in Haiti, if we go to Louisiana, where some people do speak French and have a French influence, they also have beye, just like the Haitian make beye in Haiti. Okay? Now, when I say creek, everybody got to say crack, because I'm going to tell you a story about Bookie. Okay? Creek, you see Bookie, he loves to eat meat. And that Bookie is mischief a lot, and he could do anything to eat a piece of meat, because that Bookie love to eat meat. He can steal the meat. If Bookie was in school here, he will go to your lunchbox and get your ham or anything that is meat. So one day, Malice sent Bookie to the market. Malice is the brother, but the brother is smarter than Bookie. Bookie is a dummy, very stupid Bookie. So Malice said, Bookie, I'm sending you to the market and I need you to buy me a nice piece of meat. So as Bookie went to buy the meat, Bookie also have to buy vegetables, sweet potatoes, corn, and charcoal. So Bookie bought everything, and Malice told him not to eat the meat on his way back, because Malice knows how much Bookie loves to eat meat. And Bookie said, "What you think I am, Malice? A stupid Bookie? I'm not going to eat that piece of meat." And then he went, the first thing he bought, what you think he bought? Huh? Right, he bought the piece of meat. And he looked at the meat, he said, "Meat, you go right down in my basket. I'm not going to eat you. Because you know, if I eat you, man is going to say I'm a stupid Bookie. Therefore, you staying right there."
There's going to be a lot of great storytelling here for adults and children alike this weekend. We have a whole storytelling tent, and we have Kate Taluga, and we have Shelley Harshberger, and we have Jane Sims and Roy Moore. We have a tremendous number of stories. If you're here Saturday night, tonight in the auditorium at 7 o'clock, going to Jamaica, and we're going to hear some stories from one of the really outstanding storytellers in that culture. Lucille Francis Fuller. And I asked Lucille what we should say about her this morning, and she just said, "I'm outstanding." So let's go ahead and give it up for Lucille Fuller giving us stories from her culture, from Jamaica. Ooh. There she is.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I would like to see this place filled right up with boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Come on down. Come on down and listen to Jamaican Anansi story. Jamaican Anansi story. Come on down, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. This is the time for it. Of course, I'm going to give you a little history of life back in Jamaica. When I was a little girl growing up, we never had all the nice things, the amenities and things that you have today. So storytelling was our main recreation. Boys and girls would come together on the veranda, under the guango tree, wherever there was a shade, and of course sit and listen to stories. You know, back there, when the slaves were there, we had a set of people called the Maroons. Some of you must have studied about the Maroons in your history. And we had a special Maroon woman by the name of Nani. And she used to work some magic. You would find Nani with the runaway slaves going up in the hills of the Blue Mountains. And there camouflage themselves with leaves and trees and bark and branches, so that when the English soldiers got up there, they did not see people, they saw trees. And sometimes trees walking. So those soldiers would just walk by without noticing that Nani and her Maroons were right there. They had to do those tricks. And I'm going to tell you one particular one. There they were in single file going on the hills. And of course there was a precipice over by the side. And Nani would have a big fire with a big pot with three legs. And that pot would appear to be boiling. But when you look closely, there was no fire. So those soldiers would walk up. And when they walk up and they look over at the pot and it wasn't boiling because there was fire, they got frightened and they jumped back over the precipice. And each soldier would walk by and that would be their fate. And when the last one came by, look, about to jump back, Nani held that one and said, "Come, look. Look at your comrades. No, go back and tell your master what you have seen." And when he went back and told the story, nobody wanted to go up there. No soldier wanted to go up there. And as a result, the Maroons were left at peace. Today, there is a community by the name of Moortown in Portland, Jamaica, where there is a Maroon city. They are like the American Indians. They do not pay rent. They don't pay taxes. They have their own schools, their own community, and their own everything. And all that was a part of the result of this brave woman, Nani of the Maroons. Today, she is honored as one of the national heroes of Jamaica. Those of you who have never gone to Jamaica, you must have heard of Jamaica. It's very mountainous. It has mountains going high up to over 7,000 feet. And those are undulating mountains. They go up and down and up and down. Then the rivers meander in and out of the mountains down to the sea. You might have heard of Don's River and St. Anne's Bay. Beautiful, white sand beach expand for miles and miles. Those are just a few of the different amenities you will enjoy when next you take a vacation to Jamaica. There have been so many different kinds of characters in our stories there. I told you before about Brother Nancy. You have Brother Nancy, you have Brother Tukuma, you have Brother Dryhead, Brother Piece of Foot, Brother Hip Hop, all different kind of characters. Today I'm going to tell you a story about Brother Nancy. You see, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we used to have zinc on our house top instead of what you see on house tops today. And when it rains, you could hear the rain falling like this. And you hear the rain falling, coming down. Rain is coming down. And when the rain is coming down like this, there was nothing else for the boys and girls to do other than to get together, as I've said before, on the veranda. And when they get together on the veranda, great-grandparents, my great-grandmother, would get them together there and tell them stories. You see, storytelling in Jamaica is, it has been handed down. My maternal grandmother used to tell us stories. And then later on, I became a storyteller, telling stories to my siblings and other children in the neighborhood. When I became a teacher, elementary school teacher, I told my children stories. Sometimes some of those children, you know, from the rural areas, they were a bit timid to come together and to open up and to share. So when I get them together and I tell them a nice Anansi story, wow, they just sit with open mouth. And that helped to bring them together, get them to begin to talk, to communicate, and later on become very, very outspoken and well-developed boys and girls. Today I'm going to tell you a story of Brother Anansi. And this story is about Brother Anansi. Brother Anansi, the Anansi is from the spider family. He's a spider, but in this case, he has taken on human characteristics. So he had a wife and three children. He had a big girl, maybe like that big young lady over there. And then he had a son, maybe like that young man over there. And then he had a little girl, maybe like this little young lady over here. So a big girl, a boy, and a little girl. And boys and girls, it was really, really hard time back in Jamaica. They had nothing to eat. All the oranges and the mangoes and the pears and all the bananas and the plantain, everything was dried. Nothing to eat. And Nancy became very sad. And he sat down and he thought and thought and thought till he thought, I am the father of this house and I must get food for my children. And so he got up one morning and he had a walking stick and he started to walk down the street and he whistled. And as he was going down the street, there was a clump of bush. And he looked under the clump of bush and he saw a little pot. And he went under and he picked it up. And he said, what a pretty icky pot. To his surprise, the pot answered, my name is not Pretty Little Pot. Anansi said, so what is your name? The pot said, my name is Fullwell. Anansi said, so Fuyet Mishi. The pot filled up with rice and peas and stew beef and ribs and barbecue chicken. It was mouth-watering. Anansi was so happy. He started to eat. He forget about his children that they were hungry. And Anansi ate and ate and he ate everything out that pot. After he was finished eating, he took the pot and he put it under his jacket. And he took his walking stick and he started to walk back home, happy. And he went home. When he got home, he said, my wife,
my wife, you got what I have. My wife, I got something special for you. His wife came out. What is it, my husband? What is it, my husband? And he showed her the pot. He said, my wife, shut the table. Shut the table and let the children come together. And so his wife spread the table. He put a plate for the big girl over there. He put a plate for the boy. And he put a plate for the little girl over there. And a plate for his wife. And one for himself, although he had just finished eating. And Anansi put the pot in the middle of the table. And he danced a little thing like this. He went around. P.S. Yanko, she don't punch you to pick up the bishop, come back with dance around. Oh, P.S. Yanko, check up to the chip, to the chip, chip, chip. He was so happy. And then he looked at the pot and he said, what a pretty yicky pot. The pot said, my name is not Pretty Little Pot. And Nancy said, so what is your name? The pot said, my name is Fullwell. And Nancy said, so forget me, she. And the pot filled up again with the nicest of food. This time there was steak, everything, green beans, everything. Everything in the pot. The children ate and they were filled. They felt so good. Brother Nancy was so happy. He said, my wife, I am going to call my friends. I want my friends to come and see my magic, my magic. And he took the pot. He put it under his bed. He said to the big girl, my daughter, you are not to touch this pot. He said to his son, my son, you are not to touch this pot. He said to the little one, I know you are not going to touch it. Okay, I'm going down the road. And I know you, are very obedient. You are not going to touch the pot. And so Anansi took up his stick and he walked down the road again. And he went and he saw his friend, Brother Tukuma. He said, Tukuma, Tukuma, I want you to come and see what I have. I have the wire at my house. He saw Brother Cow. He said, Brother Cow, come, come see what I have. He saw Brother Dryhead. He said, Brother Dryhead, you got to come, you got to come, you got to come to my house to see what I have. But guess what, boys and girls? While Brother Anansi was out there inviting his friends to come and not only to see the pot, but to be fed by the pot, that big girl said to the little one, let's look at Pa's pot. We are not going to do anything with it. The little one said, no, no. Pa said you are not to touch the pot. She said, we're not going to do anything with it. Let's just look. So she went under the bed. She took out the pot. She smiled. And then she said, what a pretty little pot. The pot filled up with food even before she finished saying the rest of it. She started to eat again and she shared for the little one, the boy, and then she got a big container and she stuffed the rest of food in it. She went in the backyard and she brushed away some trash from under the guango tree and she hid the pot, the dish with the food and cover it up and wipe her mouth dry. And then she took the pot into the kitchen and she washed the pot. After she washed the pot, she put it back under the bed. Boys and girls, not long after that, Brother Anansi came. He was happy. He said, Brother Tukuma, Brother Tukuma, Brother Dryad, Brother Dryfoot, come, come, look at what I have. Look at what I have. He went under the bed. He took out the pot. He put it at the table. He said, gentlemen, gentlemen, I hope you have a good appetite. I hope you have a good appetite for what I have here for you today. Gentlemen, I am so happy. And so all his friends sat around. Brother Nancy danced around. Ipi, yeah, Janko, she don't punch you, it's a pick up the black sham, come back, baby, your hand, girl. Long time, girl, man, I'm
never see you. Come and eat and change. Everybody was ready. He said to the pot, "What a pity, yicky pot." No answer. He said, "What a pretty yicky pot." No answer. He was upset. He said, "What a pretty yicky pot." No answer. He said, "Somebody has touched my pot. I told you and you and you not to touch the pot. Somebody touched the pot." The little girl said, "I didn't touch the pot, Pa." The boy said, "Neither me." The big girl said, "Nor me." Brother Nancy was angry. He was upset. He was embarrassed. He brought all those friends and no food, put the pot aside, and he said, "I am going to get you. I am going to get you. It got to be Brother John Crow or Brother Woodpecker or Brother somebody came down and touched that pot." The people had to leave and they went back home. The next morning, Brother Nancy got up. He got his walking stick, put on his felt hat, and he started to whistle and walk down the street. He came to the same clump of bush where he found the pot. And when he stooped down and looked, there was a whip. And he said, "What a pretty yicky whip." The whip said, "My name is not Pretty Little Whip." And Nancy said, "So what is your name?" The whip said, "My name is Beatwell." And Nancy said, "So be it yet, Missy." Boys and girls, the whip turned on Brother Nancy and it started to beat him. Bye, 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 bye. The whip dropped. And Nancy brushed his arms off, brushed off his clothes, brushed up himself, and he took up the whip. And he went home. When he went home, he smiled. He said to the big girl, "This is my pretty icky whip." He said to the boy, "You see my pretty icky whip?" He said to the icky girl, "This is my pretty icky whip. I am going to leave it under the bed. Please don't touch it." "No, Pa. No, no, we will not touch it." Nancy took his stick, walked down the street. No sooner than Nancy left, guess what? The same big girl went, looked under the bed, took out the whip. "What a pretty little whip." The whip answered, "My name is not Pretty Little Whip." She said, "What is your name?" The whip said, "My name is Beatwell." She said, "So Beat, let me see." Ha, 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 ha. The whip turned on her and it beat her. Bam, bam, bam. But I, but I, bye, bye, but I, but I, bye. Bam, 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 but I, but I, bam, bam. Oh, why? Shoop, bye. She said, "Oh, please, please, please. Oh, I'm going to obey my parents. I'm going to listen to my daddy. Please. Please, don't beat me anymore." Finally, the whip dropped. She was bruised and blistered. She cried. Oh. Just then, Brother Nancy walked in and said, "Oh, so what's the matter with you, my child?" You say, "Oh, Pa. Pa, I lied to you. It was me. It was me who took I'm so sorry, Pa. I will not disobey you again. I will always obey you. I will obey my teachers at school. I will obey the grown-ups in my life. I will not disobey you again. And boys and girls, Brother Nancy said, yes, I am sure you have learned your yes. When your daddy, your mama, your teacher, when the grown-ups in your life tell you to do something, you do it. When they tell you you are not to do it, you don't do it. And of course, she learned her lesson. Boys and girls, this is the end of the story. And I know you got the moral of the story already. It is to be obedient. When dad, when mom, when teacher, when you are spoken to, you follow direction. And when you follow direction, you are sure you will understand, you will come out on top, you'll be an A student at school, and of course, mom will love you even more when you are obedient. And this is the end of the story. Jack Mandora may not choose no more. Thank you very much. Thank you. I think my time is up. I thank you very much. I hope I'll get the chance to come back to tell you another story. And I thank you, my listening and viewing audience, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. And we have lots more, a repertoire of stories bridging the generation coming down. Thank you and have a pleasant afternoon.
Thank you, Lucille. That was wonderful. That was wonderful.